Because yesterday was the celebration of our emancipation, our Declaration of Independence, whatever. I want you to know that that is scriptural. You have to know that government is a gift of God. Government is not like an option. God commands, let every soul be subject, and so on. He commands in Romans 13, and in many places. I mean, I'm sure there's over 200 scriptures. And I study each one of them, by the way, Old Testament and New Testament, to have two witnesses for everything that government is about. Not so much our government, although ours is the best, but government as God intended it. Now, ours has fallen away from what the founders intended, let alone what God intended. But that's all right. We can always get it back because it's all in the scripture. Everything that the founders did was based upon the scripture. Everything they did, whatever Locke got or whatever Montesquieu got or whatever whoever got, they got it all from the scripture originally because God set it up that way. In fact, you can't even if you set up a bad government, it's still going to be according to God's government. Even bad governments get bad people. I don't know if you know that. When they get somebody, they say they're bad. They have to say that. So, you know, if you're a communist and you're not one, then they say you're bad. So it doesn't matter. Every government is still accountable to God for being just. And there's never been a government on earth that didn't say we were just. Even the most wicked despotism, they always say this is for the people's good. They always say that. So obviously, nobody's arguing about the basics. Nobody's arguing about the basics. You have three duties. First is religious. You owe to God your due reverence. Whatever it is, every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. So that's your first duty. And that comes before government. That comes before even your love for your neighbor. The second duty is your morals. That is, whatever you owe to your neighbor. So you owe something to God first. You owe something to your neighbor second. And this has way before government. Before there even is such a thing as government, first there's just, you know, Abraham, a single individual, no government at all. And then you have a family, you have a wife, then you have some kids. Now you got a family going. This is still all prior to government. Then you have tribes. And then finally it gets a little bigger and you got people. But still you don't have a government. Israel was a people long before she had a government. And to have a government, you have to have laws. So first thing you want to do is figure out what your laws are. Anybody, whoever the sovereign is, if it's the people, then it's we the people. If it's a king, then it's we the king, you know. We, they always say we. But that king is ruling in the name of the people. So it doesn't matter whether it's King Henry VIII. He's still going to rule England in the name of the people, the realm. You can't be a king if you have no people. You say, I'm king and you have no people. No, a king has to have land. You have to have law. You have to have people. You have to have all kinds of things. So it's necessary to be a people. And finally, we the people. And we used to be under the King of England. And when we were under the King of England, then he was the sovereign. And he was considered the sovereign. But actually, in truth, even he knew he was not the sovereign. In fact, people wrote books saying law is sovereign over the king. And the king has to obey the law too. In England, the king could do no wrong, which is another way of saying, if you do wrong, you're not a king. Now, people think that means the king can do anything he wants. Actually, what it meant was, the king can do no wrong, so if something is wrong, then you're not a king, you're a despot, you're a tyrant, you're out. And that's why they chopped one king's head clean off. Said, you know, he's no longer a king. He's a tyrant. You can't kill kings, but you can kill tyrants. Anyway, my point is simple, is that God has set up certain things which nobody can alter. They're fixed. They're natural. They're supernatural. Okay? So when God first set up our system of government, there's God way up at the top, and he has a left hand and a right hand. Government's always on the left hand. Religion is always on the right hand. Period, over, out. So religion is free, government is law. Law, liberty. Law, liberty. So his right hand, Yamim, in the Hebrew language. That means the son of the right hand. You like to teach on Benjamin. Ben means son of, and right hand means Yamin. So Benjamin means the son of my right hand. Well, that kind of government is always going to be spiritually based. Whereas over here, I'm also under God. It's his hand. So he controls both the church and the state. In fact, he controls everything. He controls your morals. He controls your religion. He controls everything. Now, just looking at this, I want to show you that it's a miracle that this government was set up, because it was the first government in the entire world that set up for freedom. Now, England claimed freedom, but there wasn't any. At any time, the king could make another decision, and when the king lost his power in England, which he did, then the parliament took over. And to this day, parliament is supreme. And so the parliament, not only does it make the laws, it interprets its own laws, not even the judges. It itself has the last say. It's the supreme court over the supreme courts. That parliament that made the law also could interpret what that law meant since they made it. The same as the kings used to do. So parliament became supreme sovereign, not we the people. And the Americans didn't think that was a good idea, because they both suffered under kings who persecuted them, and they suffered under parliaments who told them what to do and said, your laws mean nothing, you'll just do what we say. So whoever is sovereign makes all the decisions. B, C, and D are the three decisions that A makes, and always for the purpose of E. So here is the benefactor. Here are the authorities, the laws that he sets up. Here are the powers, the institutional allocations that he arranges institutionally to go under that law. And here are the officers that they appoint to obey these laws for those people on behalf of those people. So here's the beneficiary, here's the benefactor. These are the means to that end. If the people like these people down here, these are the people in aggregate, these are the people individually. In other words, as individuals, you are not we the people. You are just you. That's down here. But as supreme, we, when you say we, all the political sovereignty by God's will belongs here, not in some king. That's why God said when they wanted to make a king in the Old Testament, he said, I want to be king. And I decide how it shall be. And God is not only the lawmaker, he is also the ruler, and he's also the judge. So he's lawmaker, ruler, and judge. Isaiah 33:22. So if God is lawmaker, ruler, and judge, then no man can be lawmaker, ruler, and judge except under him. So the scripture says, 2 Samuel 23:3, he who rules over men, someone who's going to be a ruler, someone who's going to govern, someone who's going to have authority and power. Authority B, power C. So somebody who's a D, who has the authority and the power. In other words, here's the power, I got a gun, but I could be a criminal. So I should use my gun only under the law, then I'd be a policeman or whatever. So you don't draw out your sword or you don't pull out your gun until you're under the law. So the law is everything for God. Everything starts with the law. What kind of laws do you have? Now, I want to tell you the story of America, how our particular government got set up, because it's unique. It's unique in the annals of time that justice was to be done, but in a way that liberty was completely set. People were set free. They were just left alone. Never happened nowhere else in the world, not even in Israel. In Israel, if you weren't Jewish and you didn't obey all the laws, you got X'd out. So here, no laws could ever be made to govern a Christian. We can do what we wish. Now, that has been taken away. I hope you understand that. That even though a lot of pastors still believe they're free, they're actually not. And they did it by their own stupidity. They did it by their own stupidity. So when they say, well, I'm free, that's in theory. In theory, you're free. But in practice, it's back to the old system. How many know that any system, if you don't maintain it, if you don't keep it up, it'll fall back? You know, if you don't sweep your house every day, you're going to get dust. I mean, it's just going to go back to where it was, chaos. So to keep the chaos away, you have to every day reorder it. You have to every day straighten the kitchen out or, you know, whatever. You have to constantly keep up. Vigilance. It takes eternal vigilance. That's the price of liberty. So if you don't use your liberty, you lose your liberty. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Now, why do people want to be free today? So they can debauch? So they can, you know, do their own thing? So they can have lots of TV sets and a boat on the lake? I mean, why do they want freedom? If you're just going to sin, if you're just going to use it on your own lusts, then God has no stake in it. So the only reason he gave you liberty was so you could do your duty. A duty creates a right, and a right necessitates liberty. I have to have the freedom to do what I have a right to do, which I have a duty to do. So a duty creates a right. If I have a duty to do something, like worship God, then I have a right to worship God. And if I have a right to worship God, then I have to have the freedom to do what I have a right to do, which is my duty. Do you see that? So rights are not supreme, duties are. The more duties, the more freedom. It's weird, isn't it? It's the opposite of what you think. The more duties you have, the more rights you have, because you only have a right to do your duty. You don't have a right to do something licentious. You don't have a right to kill. You don't have a right to harm. You don't have a right to injure. So you only have the right to do what you have a right to do, which is right. You don't have a right to do wrong. Did you all see what I just said? Now, why is the church free from that? Because it's under God directly, and he personally takes charge of his right hand. So the church is over here on his right hand. The state is over here on his left hand. Here, he rules through Caesar's, and God rules indirectly, not directly. In other words, here they don't have to take communion. Here they have swords, and they just force people. But over here, he wants no force, and you have communion. In other words, you have to follow his laws over here, but his laws are all free. He never forces somebody to take communion, even in his church. And so God uses no force over here. If you're not a Baptist, he doesn't care. You can be anything you want to be. You can worship a stick or a stone. He tells you not to, and there are consequences for it, but one of them is not that he forces you. Every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. So whatever your conscience says, I can't force you. I could make you go to church, which the Queen of England did. Queen Elizabeth made people go to the Anglican church. That doesn't make them good Anglicans. But she didn't care. She didn't care what she believed on the inside. She wasn't forcing your conscience. She was just simply forcing your outward behavior. You will behave yourself. You will be a good Catholic, but you will sit in an Anglican church. You'll be a good Lutheran, but you'll sit in the Anglican church. Be a good Baptist in your heart, but you'll sit in the Anglican church, and you'll say Anglican words. So they say, well, that's not free. No, you're free to think what you want. You're free to feel what you want. Just don't express it. That's called free exercise. In other words, you have free exercise of nothing, because she's going to dictate what's the truth. This is the true church, the Anglican church. Now, the Catholics did the same thing during the Middle Ages. Everybody had to be a Catholic. Even if you weren't, you still had to sit there and do all the Catholic stuff. When they genuflect, you have to genuflect. When they do this, you have to do that. They didn't care if you believed it in your heart. They just wanted to make sure you were a hypocrite on the outside. Do you all understand? This is powerful. And until this nation arose, that was the way it was throughout all of Europe and throughout all of East right now Europe. Or Eastern Asia, or whatever. It's that way all over the world. People just force you. If you're in Saudi Arabia, you cannot be a Christian. Oh, you can be one in your heart. You just can't be one outwardly. You can't build a church. You can't set up a little house study in your home or something like that. If they catch you, you know, it's against the law. Sharia law forbids it. So that's still with us, and it'll always be with us. Don't try to change the world, because it's not going to change. You can't put democracy on, the Near East. You're not going to put democracy on people, because they don't even know what that is. They've been taught so long to be slaves of their own religion and state that they're not accustomed to liberty. Now, the American problem was that because England was 1,000 miles away, because of that, or several thousand, because of that, they didn't watch over what was happening in the colonies too closely. And for example, you lived out in the woods, so no one came around to find out what you were doing. You built your own little log cabin, fighting off Indians and bears and so on and so forth, so nobody really cared. So the Americans got used to liberty, self-government. That was our form of government here. And they, you know how they did it? Because in every little log cabin, there was a Bible. It wasn't the Catholic Bible. It was a Protestant Bible, probably the Geneva Bible rather than the King James. Because we've gone through and I've told you about the King James Bible. It's a little different. King James favored it because he put in the words he wanted and he kept out the words he didn't want. So I've told you all that story. You can go back and look at all those tapes. But so we the people decided that Almighty God has placed all political authority resident in us. If you want to go down to Austin, you can see it on the side of the Justice Building. It'll be written right there that all political sovereignty resides in the people. That means in the aggregated people. So it resides in the people. And that's where God puts it. It's in the Bible. So God wants the people to rule. On the right hand, they have a freedom to follow God. And on the left hand, they will follow the king. Now, God wanted to be the king so that he could rule over you, but he could never find people that wanted him to be king. Because he's kind of a righteous king. That's a problem with God. He can't just kind of let corruption go. You remember when they would do something wrong? All of a sudden, the whole camp would, you know, half the people would die or something. It was no fun camping with God. You know, God, every time you sin, the guy notices. Let's get him to put his tent a little far away so he can't see us. And so God moved his tent out. Remember, Moses then had to go outside the camp to meet God because God saw that they were sinning. And it wasn't that God was mad at the sin. He knew how to take care of sin, just kill you. It was that they wanted to sin and they didn't want God around to kill them. So they made him move out. And he said that to him. He said, the reason I'm moving out is not because I hate sin, which I do. It's because you want to sin, which I don't allow. And so you don't want me to notice, but I still see it. And I'll tell Moses. So they didn't want God to be their king. The Americans said, people have all the authority, and should we follow Europe? Should we follow the Hindus? Should we follow the Buddhists? Should we follow all the other Muslim nations of the world? Shouldn't we build our state, our nation, on what's called natural law? In other words, how God rules the world, the way God does it. In God's justice, this is this and this is that. So let's build it where the church is free. This took a while to work out. Let's give the church freedom, not only of conscience, but of exercise. Nobody had ever thought of that. No, they'd thought about it, they talked about it, but nobody ever thought it was workable. There'd never been a nation on earth that didn't have its own religion. Every state chooses its religion. It's usually the religion of the prince. Whoever the prince is decides the religion. So if the prince is Catholic, then the people will be Catholic. And that's how Europe was completely ruled. Those that were Catholic, those were the Catholic princes. Like, let's say you were in France. So there, King Louis XIV would say, everybody's going to be Catholic in France. You don't want to be Catholic? Get out. Or we'll kill you. So you don't have any big choice. And when the Huguenots wouldn't leave, they were French Protestants, they killed off 200,000 of them in one night, just killed them off, and said, you know, that's the end of that now. So we just want everyone to know, you're either Catholic or you're nothing. And then the next town over, it might be a little different. The next country next door might be different. Maybe they were Lutheran in Germany. Or in southern Germany, they were Catholic, and in northern Germany, they were Lutheran. Or they were Calvinist in this part of France, but they were Catholic in this side. Or over in Holland, or in Scotland, or in England, and so on. So they were trying to sort the whole thing out. And because of all that, the Americans, looking at ancient history and modern history, looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament, looking at all the kingdoms that had ever existed, said, let's set it up the way God would set it up, because we have a better chance to survive. One thing you'll notice about kingdoms, they never last more than 200 years. So if you set up a kingdom, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, whatever kingdom you set up, it's not here today. Ancient Egypt, it's no longer a great empire. It can't last that long. China, it's no longer, you can only make it go so long. It'll be the, you know, the Chang dynasty, then it'll be the Han dynasty, and then, you know, they just keep changing because you just can't make them keep going. And so they're always switching. Well, the Americans said, let's set up a government till the end of time. That'll be a model to the rest of the world, and we'll follow God. We'll do whatever God said. So however his laws are, not his biblical laws on the right hand, but his natural laws on the left hand. Let's follow his natural laws. Why? Because politics is over here. Politics is not over here with religion like England did. England was a Christian nation, still is. To this day, England's still a Christian nation. Therefore, they can say weird stuff. They can do whatever they want to do because it's a Christian nation. We're not Muslim. We're not this and that. And so they should be able to kick out the Muslims or make the Muslims go to the Anglican Church, but that's over with because of the Act of Toleration. And now Parliament rules, and Parliament doesn't want there just to be one official established church, but still, they're a Christian nation. And they think of themselves that way, and their documents say so. The Americans chose not to do that deliberately, even though many Christian pastors today think America's a Christian nation, and many people think America's a Christian nation. Could not be ever. Not even possible. Why? Because of the Bible. The Bible's very clear about this. Here's what he calls a nation, his right hand. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation. So, if Christianity means anything, if it means holy, it would have to be over here on his right hand. Complete land of liberty. This is liberty over here. All civil liberties are based on religious liberties. No religious liberty, no civil liberty. You go to any Muslim country today, there will not be any, because there's no religious liberty, there'll be no civil liberty. And whatever they give you, they can take away. They can just change it overnight, because the same one that gave you this gave you that. But when God gives you natural, God-given, indefeasible, inalienable rights, then the American people thought that would be a better foundation. Then no one could take them from you. You can't give what you don't have. So if man has the ability to give you a right, then man could take it away. But if man doesn't, but God gives you a right, then man can't take it away. So this was a new idea, that even though I have a religious duty to worship God, I have a moral duty to love my fellow man and not at least harm him, and I have a civil duty to render to Caesar the justice that's due to every man, give to all his due. So that was the way our government was set up according to these natural duties under natural law. So their human reason, human moral conscience, and a human sense of justice was to be instituted in a permanent fashion that would never go away. Now they set it up not to bind the people, but to free the people and to bind the government. So our Constitution was a chain tied to the government to prevent the government from getting out of the, so it didn't color outside the lines. So it made lines and said, this is as far as you can go. Here will be the legislative branch. Here will be the executive branch. Here will be the judicial branch. Here will be the federal level. Here will be the state level. Here will be the local municipal level. And they made all these chains and little boxes and little fences so that government couldn't do more than it was supposed to do. It could never exceed its natural and now its civil limits. We the people did that. They set up and said, there will be three branches and there'll be three levels. So they divvied it up into those nine little boxes. However, today it's all been what they call concentrated in the hands of one. It's now all in the federal. The federal now is over the state, is over the municipal. So there is no municipal. You have no municipal. It doesn't matter what your municipal laws are, they're completely subject to the state. It doesn't matter what your state laws, they're completely subject to the federal. So even though there is an appearance that there are different levels, that's purely nominal, purely in name. A local government is a subdivision of state government, which is a subdivision of the federal judiciary, of the federal legislature, of the federal executive. So they can come in at any time and just take over. Now, though they've been reluctant to do it, because that's not what the founders set up, they're reluctant to do it, they have all the power already. And it's just a matter of a crisis coming up when they'll take away all your guns and take away everything, and you'll be destroyed. There'll be no more religion. The religion that you have now, you will not have any freedom. You will have to go back and be Anglicans again. Or whatever, might be atheists now. You never know what's going to happen. I want you to know it's a gift of God. So if it's a gift of God, you think God knows how to give a gift and then maintain it? Yes, only if you appreciate the gift. If you don't appreciate it, he'll take it away. He won't defend you. So Americans today are ignorant. How many know my people perish for lack of knowledge? They are destroyed because they don't have any vision. They don't have any knowledge. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they came from. They don't know why they're here. They don't know where, you know, where it started, where it ends, what's the purpose. You know, they don't have any meaning anymore. Words don't mean anything anymore. Republican doesn't mean anything different than Democrat, doesn't mean anything different than independent. They all just mean nothing. They can mean anything you want them to mean. So if somebody says God, that might mean, you know, geometry. You don't know what it means. They just say words. No, seriously, all words have gone away. There are no more words. That's why I'm a craftsman of words, because words have a lot of meaning. And so I not only study the connotation, but the denotation and the origin. How did that word start? How did it change over all the years? And why is it useless today? Or why is it still powerful today? And so by studying everything, you learn everything. But if you only study some things, which everybody today is an expert in something, it's not good enough, because then you'll never understand what's going on. Let's say you tried to fix the nation. You can't, because you don't know how it was set up in the first place. And even the books that are written on it are wrong. Now, I'm going to show you in simplicity, based on the scripture, how the founders, and I wish I could read out of Jefferson or Madison or, you know, all of them, they all say the same thing. They do not differ. Oh, they differ in insignificant things, but on all the significant things, the things that count, that matter, they're completely in total agreement. Now, let's start at the top. Civil government is a public trust based upon or operating within a natural trust. So that shows that there's higher laws above lower laws. So every law in America, the way the founders set it up originally, not today, not how it is today. There's only one law today, the one that they make yesterday. There are no laws now called higher laws. Nobody argues according to higher law. But the founders set up a nation where you could only have a law that was derivative of the Constitution. Here's the Constitution right here. But the Bill of Rights was an amendment to that Constitution to make sure that churches would forever be free. And that many other things, 10 of them. Those 10 things are added to the Constitution. Today is disregarded. Even though you have the freedom, in fact you don't. De jure you may, but in fact you don't. I could explain why it's not important. Now, but the Declaration of Independence preceded both, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So the Declaration in 1776 preceded the Constitution in 1787, which preceded the Bill of Rights in 1791. So it took many years to work all of this out. And as they crafted, they weren't coming up with new ideas, they were just honing their original idea is to get under God. Here's revealed law here, the law of Moses, for example. Here is the natural law. Now, revealed law is revealed. Not everybody knows the revealed law. But the natural law, everybody knows. So government was set up here. But because of the common law that was set up here, first act, they said, was we're going to retain English common law, but adjust it. We're going to adjust it to the colonial experience. We're going to adjust it to what we've learned. And so the last couple hundred years, they said, have taught us a lot about tyranny and about how a true government should be just. So we're going to take common law right there. So that's number three. Based upon natural law, which must always agree with revealed law because that's what the common law of England said. I could read Blackstone then, who wrote in 1776, the very year that all of this took place, he wrote down the laws of England. For the first time, somebody sat down and wrote all the laws of England down, and then he published it. And it was published in 1776, the very same exact year that Jefferson crafted the Declaration of Independence. Now, I want to read to you some words out of the Declaration because it's very interesting. The Declaration of Independence says something like this: when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people. Now, the one people didn't exist until he wrote these words. They called themselves the American people, not just colony A, B, C, D, 13 different colonies. First time they ever said we're one people. And they were ready to go to war over this. This is their declaration to say so. When it becomes necessary in the course of human events for one people to dissolve the political connections, bands, the things that tie us together, when it's necessary, what would make that necessary? If the King of England were a tyrant and no longer a king, then the bets are off. All bets are off. Every charter we have with him, he's not going to honor it. He's dishonoring his charters. He's a liar. He's not a king. He's a tyrant. And they're going to list 13 different egregious facts that would prove why we have to do this, why it's necessary. And then under the last fact, there's going to be 14 other items that are going to be mentioned, very specific, to show why we did what we did. This is what Jefferson wrote. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, in other words, Americans to England, and for that people to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which, now watch this, because this is the foundation, right here is the legitimacy, this is the law, he's going to state all of this, all the higher laws, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so at least 6 laws above any law that's passed by the general powers of government in America. Same in Texas. You have to pass this muster, first of all. So he's going to name it right here. When it becomes necessary that we assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature, so now he has the laws of nature right there, the laws of nature, now they are invariable, never change, cannot be altered. Human laws change all the time. They have different meanings, they have different applications, they have different letters, words. But nature never changes. It's always the same. Be just. Do God's will. That never changes. So whatever human conscience knows inside, it's inside of every single person, they know the natural law without it being written down. You don't have to even write it down. They just know the natural law says it's wrong to eat your neighbor's arm off. You see, in some parts of the world, it's not. In Papua New Guinea, it was right to eat your neighbor for breakfast. That was one of the things you had to do. Because they felt cannibalism was okay. But natural law says it's not. Well, they didn't think so. So there'd be an argument. But natural laws are universal. Everybody knows it. And how do we know that the Papua New Guineans actually knew that it was wrong to eat your neighbor's arm off? Because when they ate the arm off, the neighbor did something like this. Ah! And when they did that, the person knew, you know what? He doesn't seem to like this. Do you understand? If one baby grabs a hold of another baby and pulls its hair, that baby will cry. Now, usually the baby pulling the hair and the other one screaming, they just look at him like a blank look. What is wrong with you? You know, they are not at all, it doesn't move them at all. And they don't even know, they have no idea that the pulling of the hair has anything to do with the screaming of the mouth. They don't know that, right? But the Papua New Guineans who have now become Christian, the minute they become Christian, they confess all their sins of all the people that they ate. Why? Because they knew when they did it by nature, it was wrong, even though the tribe said it was right. So even though human law makes it legal, that doesn't mean it's lawful before God. Now, the Americans then set up their government based on that. And this is what he said: to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them. So here, not human beings, no legislature, no king or prince, God gave us these natural, God-given, inalienable. Those rights that were given by God, nobody can take away because they're written on your heart. That's the natural law written on your heart. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. There's a natural law Everybody in the world knows there's right and wrong. Everybody in the world knows they're right and wrong. They disagree as to what is right and wrong. They don't disagree that there is a right and wrong. And everybody in the world knows that murder is wrong. The Ten Commandments are known by everybody in the world, even though it's not articulated as clearly as God articulated them to Moses when he wrote them down. Yet everybody knows the minute they read them. You know, that's right. You shouldn't kill people. You shouldn't murder them. So these natural laws, the Americans said, let's make them above our laws. Let's make our laws subordinate to their laws. And that's how we're going to set up our nation. We're going to have a nation that is better than any other nation, more lasting, more fair, more prosperous, more safe, more happy. Why? We're going to follow God. They feared God. He who rules over men, 2 Samuel 23:3. He who rules over men must rule justly in the fear of God. So justice is always have a God above you. You're not God. When you set up a law in your family, when you set up a law for yourself, you know, a little expectation, a little pressure put on yourself. I'm going to be fair today. You know, whatever. Those little laws are meaningless unless there's a God to whom you're accountable. Anybody can make up any law, and they make them up all the time now, that have no meaning at all. They write them deliberately ambiguous. Even when you read them, you have no idea what you're voting for. Now, let's see. Does that mean if I say yes, I'm for it or not? Because they write negatives within negatives so that you're not sure. And they do that deliberately so that only the lawyers could interpret that later and you could never say, well, I didn't know that's what I was voting for. No, you just voted to take away all your liberty. I did? I thought I said no. Yeah, that's right. They wrote it in such a way that you didn't know what they were writing. And they count on your stupidity and ignorance because you're children in their sight. You're babies. And you're stupid. And you don't know your own rights. You don't know your own God. It's your own fault. They're right. You are stupid and ignorant. Even God agrees with that. If you refuse to get God's vision. So the founders said, we're not going to set up a government like that. We're going to set up a government that will be limited and bound by God. Whatever God binds, we're going to bind. Whatever God frees, we're going to free. What he has separated, we'll separate. What he has joined, we'll join. Now, do you see that? Now, here's the deal. Church and state should be separated because God and government cannot be. I just said something very powerful. Church and state have to be separated because God and government cannot be. God is the foundation of government. So he is over it. That's why God separates, because he's over it, separates church from state. God and government are universal. Church and state are particulars. That means he separates the particulars because the universals are joined. You cannot have God without government. You cannot have government without God because he joins them. So what he joins is joined. So you can't remove God from politics. An atheistic government is an oxymoron. There is no such thing. And no nation has ever done it until the 20th century because of the spirit of Antichrist. People that hate Christians, that's why they set up atheistic governments in France, in Russia, and now even in America. The forces of anti-Christianity are actually growing. They're not only growing in number, they're growing in boldness to take away all semblance of law. Everything will become arbitrary. Everything will fall back. South Africa is a good example. Brother, he knows. In South Africa, now that it's been changed, it's being changed for more lawlessness, not for more law. And so now property is not secure. Life is not secure. Liberty is not secure. And the only reason governments exist is secure those things. If it doesn't, if you secure them so that the party in power stays in power, that's the way our government's working now. The only purpose now of government is to keep me in office. To keep you suppressed, lose all your freedoms. You have no rights, you have no freedoms, you have no capacity. Just numbers alone make it impossible. Not enough people can call their senators or whatever, and they wouldn't listen to you anyway. Because they even if all their constituents said something, it might work. But they're probably listening to their lobbyists who pay their bills. and who bribed them more than you. So today, it's very, very difficult to get anything done because Senator so-and-so is in bondage to Senator so-and-so. And he voted for your bill last time. You're going to vote for his this time. Or he'll expose you for the pedophilia that you've been doing on the side or the prostitute that he sent you or whatever. So they have these people in total bondage. And even though you look at them and think, how can you do that? You just took away my freedom. They don't care because they're already in bondage. They sold their soul a long time ago. Now, I'm not going to illustrate. I'm just going to say it. Then you have no idea what I'm talking about. But I can just tell you, we have a corrupt government, local down here, state, and federal. And those things are not going to change. They're not going to change. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes, why are we doing this, which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, created equal doesn't mean you stay equal. How many know that even though everybody's created equal, red and yellow, black and white, it doesn't make any difference what your color is or what your tribe is or what your religion is or what your nation is. Everybody's created equal. Everybody is created by God before Him of equal dignity, value, and worth. But once you get into society, people will rank you and cast you. Now, the Americans didn't want that. Today we have it again. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But the Americans set up a government that would keep that from ever happening. And so in theory, today, we're still not a caste system. There's no titles of nobility and so on. But those are just outward things. Inwardly, there is a caste system. There's a social register. There's all kinds of ways in which some people are more privileged than others. But it was set up originally not to be that way. I just want you to know what you learn in first grade or third grade or eighth grade is no longer the case. It's been changed. But don't worry about it. It's your fault. And therefore, you could do something about it if you knew the truth. So I just want to tell you today what the original idea was. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, you don't have to even argue them. Everybody knows. Here they are. One, that all men are created equal. And number two, they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Certain unalienable rights. In other words, if you can alien something, that means you can sell it or barter it or exchange it. You can get rid of it. I can transfer it or convey it to you from me. If I have it, I can give it. If I don't have it, I can't. A lot of people today buy stuff that nobody has. In other words, even though I may not own it, I can pretend like I do. Who owns the air? Well, there are people today wanting to buy air. How did they ever get it? Where did they get the water? I thought the water was for everybody. But there are certain people that want to control the water and own the water. Not you on your private property, but someone wants to own huge portions of it. Well, those things are now being done because we've become crazy. We no longer obey the laws. And the laws, we change them so that nobody notices and then bury these laws in documents like this that are no longer of value. Nobody follows these anymore. We hold these truths that all men are created equal, they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, John Locke had written life, liberty, and property, but the founders were smarter than John Locke. They said life is property. They said liberty is property. If I have a conscience inside of myself that God gave me, that's property that was given to me by my Creator. I can defend it. And you cannot violate it. And if you do, a law could be set up to prevent you from doing so. Isn't that amazing? Do y'all see that? So James Madison wrote a tremendous document that talked about all the kinds of property that there are. And today, property law is very interesting because there's real property and then there's personal property. Then there's intangible and tangible. And then there's this and there's that, all kinds of things. But conscience was one of the things that was worked out that was the most sacred property of all. More than land itself is your conscience before God. But that came from God. God gave you that right here. I have a duty here, therefore I have a right, therefore I have a liberty. I have a duty here, therefore I have a right, therefore I have a liberty. I have a duty here, therefore I have a right, therefore I have a liberty. So the fact that I have a duty to obey Caesar does not mean I have to obey a tyrant. So my duty actually gives me a right against a king who is a tyrant. That's what they were writing right here. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So the purpose then of government is that these people have rights which these people decide to secure. And they set up a government, these laws, these powers, these institutions, these officers, they set up this kind of government to allow that to take place and to happen. Now, therefore, I'm happy and I'm safe. Now, you have lost that. So even though today you may feel like you're still happy and safe, you've actually lost that. Because the government has, little by little, very small increment, they have taken away your liberties and your rights, but it's, again, your fault, not theirs. It's not their fault for taking it, it's yours for losing it, because you were ignorant. First of all, if you'd have sought first the kingdom of God, he'd have given you everything. You didn't seek first the king, you sought first the television set. First, you sought, you know, good food. You sought everything of this world, and you forgot your seek first the kingdom of God. Remember, this duty is first, this one's second, and this one's third. You went from materialism, you bought into, and then you let your kids go to a public school where they brainwashed your kids. And that's exactly the way the schools are set up. There's political schools. Every school except homeschools, every school is a government school, even if it's a private school, because it's controlled by laws that are made up, and therefore, and they're trying right now to get a hold of the private schools. If they can get a hold of your home school, and the homeschool people want it, they want to be recognized by the government. The minute you do that, you are the government. You are no longer a private school. You are now a public school. Take one dime, take one benefit, get one law on your side, you're finished. You're destroyed. What government, God wants government to leave religion alone, and religion has a right to school people according to this and this without government's permission. We don't have to ask permission as a church or as a school. But today you do. That's your own ignorance. That's your own foolishness. We the people could change it, but we the people, who are they? When will they ever get together? They agree on nothing. And the government is smart enough to keep you divided so that you never will agree. Our nation will always be now divided right down the middle. And they'll never let one side win or the other. You think the Democrats are in power right now? They'll be out of power in a little while. Then the other one will be back in. Then the other one will be back. They deliberately do that to keep you always hoping in nothing. Keep you completely confused. They make the blacks and the whites fight. They make male and female. They make young and old. They do everything they can to keep you. You know what? It's your own fault. If you'd have sought first the kingdom of God, you'd still have all your rights, because you'd have your duties and you'd have the liberty to do what you have a right to do. Now, because we've lost that, the founders set up a government that you could never lose. In fact, it's simple. I know the way back. I know exactly how to get back. Why? Because I know how it was set up in the first place. And I know how to get it back at any time. You can destroy it all overnight, we can get it right back. But if you are not a people that fear God and have higher laws above you, then you won't get anything back. And because you don't even know it, if somebody said to you, lost a right, you wouldn't even know what they're talking about. No, we still have that, I think. Nobody even knows. You have no clue. You just know it seems to be getting worser. But I guess that's because of the Muslims. And they'll tell you it's the Muslims. Isn't that funny? They can use international troubles to distract you from your domestic troubles. Do y'all see all the tricks? There's 100 of them, 1,000 of them. You know what? The founders anticipated every one of those. And they said the worst one's going to be if you ever figure out how to get the public purse and then take from it. If the legislators ever figure that out, and it isn't hard. They even spelled it out, how it would be done. They've done it. And so now, all those lobbyists, there are no lobbyists in here. There's no IRS in here. There are hundreds and thousands of bureaucracies, not in here. There's all kinds of things that are not in here, hundreds of them. And every one of them, the welfare state, not in here. For do you have a welfare state, this would have to be eliminated, we the people. And you would have to make then the government itself, these laws, these powers, these officers, you'd have to make them the benefactors instead of the trustees. If you're a benefactor, that means you own something. If you're a trustee, that means somebody else owns something that you are holding for this one here. Now, the government today is not only the benefactor, it's the beneficiary. You're not even the beneficiary. So they're not only not trustees, they've eo ipso transformed themselves into something peculiar. And the people are ignorant. They don't know the difference between trustee and benefactor and beneficiary. They don't know the difference between means and ends. And you've been schooled, and every little kid in school is told now, Margaret's a teacher, you just teach it because you don't even know what you're teaching, and the kids are just learning it because they just feel like, well, you have to obey the government. I think even God said that. They completely reverse everything and use everything upside down. Now, I want to read to you George Washington. George was a powerful, powerful guy. And George Washington, we'll close with this. George Washington is such a genius of a guy. Of all the dispositions, disposition means I have something and I'm going to dispose of it. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, political felicity, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to that. In other words, if you want this, of all the things that lead to that, here are the two. Religion and morality are the indispensable props. So these are a prop for that. So you want to have a successful government, you have to have a moral people. You can't build this government for immoral people. Today, we're an immoral people. And you're going to get more of it because they remove the foundation. If the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And religion. And George said, and don't think the French who want to have one of these without one of these will ever succeed. You build the French Revolution on morals that you define without God, an atheistic one where you have the goddess of reason or something, communist one, same thing in Russia, it will never work. So George is very astute. He's prescient. He is so intelligent. He sees ahead of time what all the problems of the world will be. These founders were not stupid and ignorant people. They were highly learned, very intelligent, extremely well-read people. And today our politicians can't even hold a candle to them. There may be one or two of our politicians. The rest are just bought off. They're just hirelings like pastors are. Pastors today are just hirelings. Now, they don't think of themselves as that. They think they're helping out or doing something. The worst sins you can commit is when you think you're doing good, but Jesus Christ did not tell you to do it. And even though you think you're doing a wonderful thing, you're actually destroying. Better to have done a destructive thing than to think you're doing something good and press people into it. Those are our worst, worst sins in the face of God, especially when you think, well, I think I'm doing the right thing. You are naive and you are evil. Did you all hear what I just said? Your biggest sins in your life is, well, I when I married him, I thought he was okay. And I thought my love would change him. Oh, okay, cool. Those are your biggest mistakes. You know, if you go out and get drunk, that's not your biggest mistake. If you go out and murder somebody, that's not your biggest mistake. Your biggest one is if you didn't get drunk and you didn't murder and you thought you were doing a good thing. There's where you make your mistakes. Because the God said, never eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know neither what good is nor what evil is. And you will end up calling good evil and evil good because you know nothing. You do it my way. You submit yourself under the fear of God. He that rules must rule justly in the fear of God. That's what makes justice happen. So this was set up, and it's still a beautiful setup. But in practice, it didn't work out that way. And they knew it. The founders knew it. They said, it's an experiment. We're going to try it. Self-governing. We the people will govern over we the people, only now as individuals. We the people in aggregate will set up a government that we bind, and hopefully they'll stay within their little boundaries, their little fences. But if they ever find out the way to break out, because it's not perfect, if they ever found out. But the key would be if the people stayed religious, if the people stayed moral. There, the church is the only hope then for the state. A non-free church will produce a tyrannical, despotic state. A free church is the only hope. A free church is the only hope. Pastors today are completely muzzled. They are completely frightened. They are intimidated by the IRS. They are intimidated by the government. They are intimidated by the court systems. And therefore, religion, even when it's preached, is preached in such a hireling fashion, in such a watered-down fashion, that you're not going to hear the truth. Now, the truth will set you free. Amen? Now listen to George. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable. That means you can't dispense with them. They're indispensable supports. Listen. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriot. It would be vain to call yourself a patriot. Who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. So he's saying, you want to have a good government, make sure these two things you never get into. These are liberty land things. This is law. This is liberty. Leave those on the right hand. Don't mess with them. Don't ever subvert them. Exactly what every government is tempted to do and will do. And I'm going to say something else, even more powerful. It's never the beast, never, that rapes the bride. It's always the bride that becomes a whore and entices the beast. Throughout history, I can show you it has never been the case that a government has gone and persecuted the believers. It's always the believers that sell out. And that's why God said, seek first the kingdom and I'll give you everything else. Only God can keep the beast over here as a king. But the minute that the girl winks, the minute she does that, she's in trouble. Take one benefit from the government, you're a whore. My God shall supply all your needs. How many know the word all sounds like all inclusive? My God shall supply most of your needs except a few of them through the government. You get a 501c3, you get a local tax exemption, you get state incorporation. Those are benefits that the government offers. There's no law that says you have to take them, but every church takes them. So here, the bride, who would be a bride without spot or wrinkle, staying clean, unspotted in this world, goes and takes it. This is another whole message. But it's exactly what prompted the founding fathers to say, keep those separate. That's what George is talking about. These firmest props, these great pillars of human happiness, of the duties of men and citizens, the mere politician equally with the pious man, religion, church and state, ought to respect and cherish them. In other words, government would do right not to attack religion or to be hostile to it or even neutral to it. Government would be, well, leave them alone. You don't have to help them. You don't have to assist them. Don't give them anything. Don't benefit them. But don't attack them either. Leave them alone. Give them total freedom. No, they can't do it. But it's the church that asked first and the government supplied. The government should have stayed within its bounds and said, we can't. We're not allowed to by the Constitution the people set up. But today we've evolved. We have a living Constitution today, which now they say, well, you know, in the 18th century they didn't know everything. But today we've evolved. We're a lot smarter today. And we're a lot more fair. And we're bigger, too. And because we're bigger, just quantity itself changes the equation. You know, once they were all farmers and, you know, just a few million people. Now we have so many. So we have to have more oppressive regulatory state methods. This is all a lie from the pit of hell. Read the Federalist Papers and you'll see that they anticipated all these things. A volume could not trace all their connections. In other words, these two duties right here, religious and moral. A volume could not trace all their connections with property, with private and public felicity. In other words, what makes you happy publicly and privately. These have public benefits. This one is not over these two. These two are foundational to this one. So this is the top. This is the higher. This is the lower. This is the derivative. Today it's the opposite. Today the government is the one that defines everything. The government is the one that regulates everything. Today it's the government. Why? It's not the government. There is no such thing as government. They're just people that no longer want to be trustees of your rights and privileges. Why? Because you forgot you had any. You thought they were just words. You just wanted to get another TV set. Okay? Too bad. Because you went then and ignored God and religion and morals. That's what would set our people free. This government was only made for a moral and religious people, period. Let it simply be asked, where's the security for property, for life, for reputation, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths? In other words, when you go into court, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But that means nothing if you're an atheist. You don't even believe in God. And so it's just pure nothing. So he say, where would it be if only government has laws to force people, all you have is hypocrites? What if they don't really have religion in their hearts and morals in their lives? Then you have nothing. The church has failed to preach true religion and to teach people to be discipled and disciplined and not just go to church. But you actually have to be like Jesus. We don't have that. Why? Because it can never be done on Sunday morning. You can learn about faith alone in the gospel here on Sunday morning, but you can never learn how to be a Christian and get rid of the sin in your life in public church. I could preach all day long, could preach for hours and hours. It means nothing. It has to be done in a house. You have to have small house churches. That's where all the sin gets taken away. It's not where it's covered. It's not where faith happens. Faith happens in public, right here. We're building up your faith, but you will not change your life here. There'll be no life changing in any public meeting of any church. Which are the instruments of investigation in the courts of justice. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Can't have one of these without one of these. So this whole setup of government, was done in such a way to set you free for what? So that you could give your duty to God and your duty to your fellow man. You don't want to do that? You don't need the government you have. That's why you have another kind of government now. You have a government now of people that are down here that are slaves, wards of the state. The black community has by and large accepted the idea that we're wards of the state. And now the Hispanics that are coming across the border, they also want that. Give me the freebies. Give me whatever is free. Never take a benefit. How can you take a benefit from a government unless they're benefactors? And what do they own? When did they get the land? When did the government fight the battle? There is no such thing as government. It's completely derivative. It was the soldiers that fought, and those were the individuals that we, the people, gave all the land to. So government owns nothing. They even if they had a building, we said, this will be your building, you're just using it. And you're using it in the name of the people. You still don't own it. And it has to be submitted to this set of documents, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, which are under the law of the land, which is the common law, which is under the natural law, which must never disagree with the revealed law. So I just named six levels of law above every law that's given, and yet today none of those levels of law matter or count. Now, even when you read a document that says they do, they're just saying it. When they refer to the Constitution, they know there is no Constitution. They just refer to it to fool you. And so you think, oh, yeah, they said Constitution. It's the Constitution they're talking about, not the one you're talking about. You don't even know what the Constitution is. People don't even read it. They don't even know what it is. Here's the foundation of all your stuff. But nobody cares. So 4th of July is an empty skirt. It's a nothing. There's nothing there. It's just a bunch of fireworks, and people are lulled to sleep. Now, the founders set it up because they felt that was worth their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they gave up everything. Almost all of the founders lost all of their property. Many of them lost their lives. And they gave up their sacred honor, meaning, we don't care. We're going to serve God if it costs us everything. There was a big Jewish man, Salomon Haim. He funded much of the revolution. He lost everything. On and on and on. Hancock lost almost everything. Each one of them went bankrupt for the sake of this nation. You had a handful of people, Jefferson, Madison, etc. Those are the people that laid their lives down. A few of them escaped, but afterward, they had to remake it again. It was very difficult to hang on to what they had because the British were out to destroy them. And they just gave it up willingly, gladly. They knew they could not win. They said, liberty is more valuable to us than life itself. So life, there's no point to life if there's no liberty and the ability to pursue happiness. A government that gives you happiness is a benefactor government that is lying. They were meant to be a trustee of the people's assets, not they themselves, the benefactors and the beneficiaries. They turned themselves into both. We own it all, and we're going to keep it all. And so now, when these senators of yours and representatives, they just do all that stuff for themselves. Local mayors, local city council, they do it for their cousins, for their brother-in-laws, for their own daughters. They get scholarships. They do all this stuff just to stay in power so they can get their retirement and so that they can just stay in office. I'm sorry. There's a few, but they're so few and they're so inept that even if they did believe the truth, they have no backing, and they will quickly be removed from the political scene. As soon as they get in and say, well, I'm going to do what the people want. I'm going to obey the law. You won't stay in very long. Now, what if there were a God? Let's imagine for a moment there were a God. Let's just pretend. What if there were a God and you said, God, I see all of this. That's a symptom. Let me return to you and you give me the power and the wisdom to seek you again and to have churches that are pure, spotless. Jesus is not coming back for a bride with spot or wrinkle. That would be a whore. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. No blemishes at all. Every man mature in Christ. It's not what we do here on Sunday morning. Every man mature in Christ. How many here are mature already? You're already mature. Who's your pastor? I mean, that's awful. It starts at the head. You must have an immature pastor. Okay, so that's the goal, Paul said, and that's the purpose, that Jesus is not going back for an imperfect bride. He will not accept her. You have to realize he's not going to change his mind on this. Oh, we'll all get in just because we have faith in Jesus. No, you won't. It's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. He's not going to say, well believed. He's not going to say even well wished, well wanted. He's going to say well done. Now, it's my job as pastor not to take your benefits, not to give you benefits of mine, but to give you God's benefits of truth that'll set you free so that you will be mature and you'll face the Lord someday. Your marriages will be intact. Your morals will be something seen and known like light and salt. Your religion will be pure, and the government you have, you could get it back anytime. Anytime you wanted to, you could get it back. But you would have to suffer. Did I mention that part? You'd have to give up your life, your liberty, and so on and so forth, and put it on the line to say, you know, to me, it's worth it to obey God. Because I believe that God wants my children and my grandchildren and those that follow me, not my selfishness, not my greed, but my own. Let it go. Because the best is yet to come. And by the way, God never loses. And by the way, there will be a bride. And there already is. And you are part of that bride. And God is leading you step by step. And that's why I thank God for the government that we have, even though it isn't in fact. It's just de jure. But it hasn't ever been changed. No one's actually taken it away. And they never will. They can never destroy this form of government, even if they attempt to. They're just adding stuff down here, way down here. These laws that are set right there, that's number 7. There's 6 above it. All of this law can't be changed. You can change these laws anytime. Those are just experimental things. They have no basis, no foundation, unless they're derivative of the Constitution, unless they're derivative and never violated any of these bills of rights, unless they're derivative of the Declaration, which gives you the way to interpret that Constitution, unless so, which are under then the common law of England, which is under then the natural law of God, which cannot disagree with the fundamental law of God, which never changes, revealed to Moses, which is written on every man's heart. You can't overthrow that. If the foundations be destroyed, they can never be destroyed. If you alone stood, you would topple this entire system. But you have to be committed to it and realize it's one of your duties. You don't just have a religious duty or a moral duty, you also have a civil duty. And that's why yesterday when people celebrated, could be an empty celebration of just firecrackers and sparklers. But the truth is, it's more than just flag burning and, you know, remembering some people that died for our nation. It's realizing we have a free nation for a purpose, and there's no other nation on the face of the earth that could ever do that purpose. I just tell you right now, if America fell, which it won't, but if America fell, there wouldn't be anyone to replace it. Israel can't do it. Sweden can't do it. Muslim nations aren't going to do it. The Chinese aren't going to do it. There's no hope except here. That's why we won't lose. That's why God had these people set this up. Their first act, establish the authority, then the power, then who are the rulers. And they rule in the fear of God for justice, so that you may be set free to finish the work. How many know we'll be prospered financially as well? If you begin to get right with God again, get out of debt, stop all that debt stuff and all, you know, we have so many things that have gone wrong. No wonder we are corrupted. The problem is we were corrupted a long time ago, but it just hasn't shown up. And now because everything was leveraged and everything was, you know, mushroomed, it looked like you had something on top, but if you looked underneath, it was all eaten out. We are bankrupt, but we can always go back. You can always return to your foundation. So what an exciting day. I hope you understand that what Madison wrote down in the Constitution, what Jefferson wrote in the Declaration, and what George Washington wrote 20 years later, 1776, this was 1796, just before he died. He wrote down, and the document goes on. It's got several pages. It goes 3-4 pages. That document is one of the most powerful documents. And God had a whole generation of people that wrote. And today there are experts out there. They even know the truth. But they can't find anybody that wants to listen to it. Why? Because nobody can spell it out as simply as I just did. Why? Because they don't read the scriptures. The scriptures are what this is all about. This was God's will from the beginning, and that's the only way this nation, unless it returns to God, and it will. I will not lose. You're not going to lose. The others will lose before we'll lose. Do you understand that? Why? Because we're powerful? No. Because we're, you know, incorruptible? No. It's none of those reasons. It's because God has a plan, God has a purpose, and he never changes his mind. And because he loves you, he's not going to let things fall apart. And because he loves the world, for God so loved the world, he's not going to let things fall apart here, here, or here. So it's a call, I'm calling you. It's a call, God is calling you. God is calling you to do your duty here, here, and here. And therefore, he'll give you the liberty and the capacity. Now, you commit yourself today by saying this. Okay, Lord, I'm going to return, seek first the kingdom, and then I'm going to do my moral duty, like everything else, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I will see renewal in my economic, political, and social life as well, because I don't want to just be a Christian private. I want to be a Christian with public, a public aspect right here for public felicity as well, and see my nation brought back to its original constitution, its original foundation, its original higher law understanding of how to rule over men in the fear of God justly. That can be restored, and I do it personally, and you can do it personally. How many are ready to make that commitment? It's powerful. All you lack then is understanding. You don't need inspiration. You just, well, what do you do? How do you do it? But those things take hard work. It isn't just, you know, you give a guy a little one-page bullet, you know, list. You actually have to do some hard work. But the first thing is it would be good to get right with God, and then to start loving your neighbor who's not very lovely because he's pretty much like you. And then when you do that, if you could ever get through that, it would be easy to set the nation back. We need a spiritual revival. We need a moral revolution. See, today morals are anything you want them to be. Today, the next thing in line after homosexuality will be bestiality. Bestiality is right around the corner. As soon as homosexuality gets in and the guns are removed, there'll be nothing. I can just tell you right now, it's because the churches are silent, because people have long ago lost their foundation, their simple view of what God is doing. You see, in a few words, God can sum up anything. All of government summed up right there. The best is yet to come. So I'm glad. Anyone want to testify? Say amen or anything? Amen. Just want to testify? Anyone want to testify? Pastor, that was helpful to see that God has a plan. God has a purpose. God's into government. He's into humbling every government that defies him. You name any kingdom on earth, I can show you that God humbled that government. He brought Israel into Egypt first, then Assyria, then Babylon, then Persia, then Greece, then Rome, then Holy Rome, and now New World Order Rome. This is the last government on earth. God isn't done yet. And therefore, he will humble this New World Order. I could draw a picture of a pyramid with an eye over it and show you symbolically that Masonic vision, that Illuminati vision, and so on. It will fail. It has failed before in the French Revolution, then it failed again, and it will fail a third time. This is its last gasp. Israel is the one that's being focused right now. Israel is in the fire of furnace. Israel is going to repent this time. Turn back to Yeshua HaMashiach. Say these words in Hebrew, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I meet every couple of weeks with the rabbi in Fort Worth, the biggest synagogue in Fort Worth. It's powerful. It's powerful. These people are being prepared. And they understand the need for religion. And they understand the Muslim, you know, trying to turn to wipe them off the face of the earth. They understand the need for simple morals. And they understand the need for a government that's not effeminate like ours is, one that's depleted of all of its strength, because we have become softened by the enemy. It's time to have a revolution. Amen? It's exciting. Anyone else? I feel somebody here should say, yeah.
We were at the Ranger game last night listening to all that patriotic music.
Yeah.
God, we know we're free and all that kind of stuff, the fireworks. So we were leaving to walk down, and I said, right, well, now we get to go to church tomorrow and give it back. We don't have any friends at all.
Yeah. All right. Dennis? Amen. Woohoo! Love you.